We continue this morning. Amen. Right. The Lord has really a wonderful purpose with all his people. Right. He wants to gain the priests and the kings. Praise the Lord. Amen. May the Lord open our eyes, and not only to show us and that we know more, but that you would enter into the practice. Amen. So this morning we come to, in the outline, to Romans 2, regards the true tabernacle. As we just read in Hebrews chapter 8, this is the main point, that we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not a man. Amen. Yeah, this matter in regards to the true tabernacle, which is not built by man, we really need to see this together. The church today, the true church, not built by man. Right? The true tabernacle. Right? It's mentioned here in regards to the true tabernacle. Not in opposite to a false tabernacle, but to the true one, a real one, the heavenly one. The one now the Lord is building in the new covenant. Right? The tabernacle that was built by Moses was built by the hands of men, and it was earthly, built there in the wilderness. But this, at that time in the old covenant, was not the true yet. It was a copy of the things, right, that we are speaking today in the new covenant. The true church, the real tabernacle, the real place where the worship happens, where the priests come to serve and to draw near to our heavenly God. Amen. Right. Those writings from the in Book of Moses, right, they really show us and point towards the real thing, what the Lord is building with us today. We cannot just neglect the Book of Moses and say, okay, this was the old times, right, in the old covenant. No, because Moses speaks about him, Jesus, right? So he just shows us what the pattern is and what the copy of the real thing is that the Lord is building today. Amen. So when you read, for instance, again in 1 Peter chapter 2, Amen. 4 and 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 and 5. We're coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Right. A living, being built up, a living stones, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up the spiritual sacrifices. So we are going to have two meetings this morning in regards the spiritual house, the true tabernacle, then another two meetings in regards to the priesthood, the priests, and then What are the priests doing? They offer up the spiritual sacrifices. Another two meetings as well then in regards to the offerings. Right? Amen. The priesthood happens in a certain place. Right? And yeah, we have here in the outline under A and B, we really need to see this together, that the true church today in the new covenant is being built by Christ. As we read in Hebrews chapter 12, the church today is Zion, right? The heavenly Jerusalem, not earthly, not of this earth, not of this creation, not built by man, but heavenly. The new Jerusalem, where is it coming from? Where is the source? It's coming down out from heaven, from God. Nothing earthly. Coming down out of heaven, right? So God, whatever he builds and establishes is heavenly. Not from this earth, but out of heaven. When we build something by our means and our ways, what is it going to be? It's going to be earthly. Right? That's what we are able to do as men. We can do and build great buildings, high towers, beautiful, outwardly looking, right? Wonderful, decorated, and so on. Lots of buildings. But what God is building, it says also, is an unshakable kingdom. In the Bay Area, everybody expects and talks about, oh, soon an earthquake is anticipated again to happen, right? Every so often, every so many years. So everybody is starting to prepare and think about the earthquake that might soon happen in the Bay Area. Right? But all this was, we built and live in the wooden houses and so on, no matter what technical means you use, when an earthquake is going to happen, it's going to shake. Right? But this, and it's going to collapse. Many things are going to collapse and a big damage. But this godly building is an unshakable kingdom. Oh Lord, unshakable. Our things that we build crack, they shake. Time will show that things that man built is going to shake. And it's going to fall apart. But not so if the church is built by the living Heavenly Father. Right? Then really the building will withstand any test. Right? Even God shaking. And in such a way, really we need to build today. Through the living God. Through this living Christ. Amen. The church is an unshakable kingdom. Right. The church of the firstborn. A spiritual house. A spiritual house. Not natural. Not soulish. Not by man's good ways and means and thoughts and ideas. Really so. Let us read all these verses. There's in many times written in the scripture and in Hebrews that this true tabernacle, the church, is not built by man. Hebrews chapter. Yeah, which was read in chapter 8. Then chapter 9. Sorry, let's start with Hebrews chapter 3. Chapter 3. Amen. 3 to 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3 to 6. For the one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of things which we spoken afterwards. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Right. Every house is built by someone. If there is a house, there is also a builder. But he who built all things is God. This unshakable kingdom, spiritual house, must be built by God. Otherwise, it's not going to be spiritual, nor it will not be unshakable. Right. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Amen. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Amen. Right. Not made with hands. That is not of this creation. Amen. Verse 24. Chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. Christ himself has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. God is not going to dwell in houses made with hands. Right? If you want to have God's presence, if you want to have his house filled with his glory, it cannot be built with hands. Right? When Moses was asked to build the tabernacle, he was asked to build it exactly according to the pattern shown to him on the mountain, in accordance to the pattern. This means it was not Moses' idea, intention, anything that he would alter, you know, choose other materials, other dimensions, his ways, more practical ways, simpler ways. No, Moses had to do exactly in all things, build up and erect his tabernacle according to the pattern shown to him. And once he did it, according to it, the glory of God filled the tabernacle. Right. Can you imagine he would have chosen a wider entry door, right? Not as high, not the fine linens, not the gold, some cheap wood, right? If he would have done that, would you think God would have accepted it? No, definitely not. Right? So no glory, right, if there is any building of man. And that is really what we see today. So many ways, so many good ideas and good intentions, but not acceptable and not according to the pattern shown by our Heavenly Father. Oh Lord, right? Yeah, God is the architect and builder. It is Him. It is His plan, His purpose with us. Right? How dare we just to neglect it and do it in our own ways? Oh Lord. Amen. Everything in accordance to God's plan. Right. Today, as Moses saw the pattern, we also need to see, right, and be enlightened. And praise the Lord for the book of Moses. We see there really in a detailed way the pattern. Amen. So we are, okay, talking about the true tabernacle. So maybe to illustrate a little bit about the layout that might help us, we can draw a little bit the tabernacle. And we see there first the outer court. When Moses building the tabernacle first, well, where would we start? We might just start right there in the holies of holies. But there is an outer court. It was built in the wilderness. A first separation was needed. Right? If you build something out in the wilderness, and it's quite wild out there in the world, and you have the holy, most holy God build and establish His priesthood, He's going to have a separation first. Right? Build up here a first separation. And in the right, in the entrance, when you come in, the first thing you will see is the altar. Right. We need to be separated fully from this world. And through His, Jesus' death on the cross, He really redeemed us and He charged any negative thing. Right. Coming into the church, we need to be separated and saved from this world. Right? When the Lord came to this earth, He said, "My kingdom is not from this world." His kingdom was not from this world. In John. Right, let's read some verses there in John. John 12:31, for instance. My kingdom is not from this world. Amen. Now is in the 12th verse 31. John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Amen. Are we casting out the ruler of this world in the church life? Yes. When the Lord died on the cross, this ruler of this world was cast out. And if you cast out the ruler of the world, you cast out anything, other things too, the negative helpers of the ruler. Rulers of darkness and principalities and powers. It was all cast out. Amen. We also need to cast out. In His kingdom, there is no place for the world. 14, verse 30. Chapter 14, verse 30. is before the Lord will be brought and die on the cross. And 30, I will no longer talk much with you. This is chapter 14, verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Amen. I really love this verse. He has nothing in me. The Lord said, the world, this ruler of this world, has nothing in me. How wonderful. What a Lord. The world had nothing in him. If we ask ourselves, how much of the world do we have in us? How much is the world still drawing us? Right? How much? 50%? 20%? The Lord said, the world, the ruler, has nothing in me. Praise the Lord. Nothing. What a Lord. He died on the cross, on his altar here. He charged all the world. Amen. So in our daily walk, let the world not captivate you, so that you would not be a slave from this world. Our Lord has brought us out of Egypt, brought us into his kingdom, into the church, right? So do not bring the world into the church, right? This is the Lord's kingdom. And the Lord himself said, the world has nothing in me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right. Amen. And this Lord, as he redeemed us, as he died on the cross, he purchased us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read there, we are not our own anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Kyle, who do you belong to? To God. Amen. Yes. How did he purchase you? By his own life, right? By his blood. Chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Amen. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Right. Amen. Yeah, so the first thing, right, the Lord is and has purchased us, brought us into his kingdom, died for us, paid with his own blood at the price, and we are not our own anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then furthermore, before you go into the sanctuary, as a priest to do the service there, right? So, right? You're gonna just enter? No, there is another item here. It's the laver, a brazen laver. Amen. Through the death of Jesus on the cross, he charged any negative thing, sin, religion, the world, right? He shed his own blood, but here you have a laver with water in it. And before the priests entered into the holiest here, they had to wash their hands and their feet in the water here. So not only are we saved by the blood of Jesus and his death on the cross, but we are furthermore, as John chapter 5 says, we are furthermore saved by the life. Much more shall you be saved by his life, by the living water, which definitely any water purifies. It's for the washing, sanctification, purification, right? In our daily walk, we are still, even so saved, still exposed to many worldly, sinful, fleshly matters. In your work life, your colleagues, you know, talking and blaspheming or telling dirty jokes. What are you going to do, right? There's a defilement. So before entering into here, the holiest, you wash your hands and you wash your feet with the living water, with the very life of Jesus, with the Spirit, with that river of life. We have really that wonderful supply of the living water, the Spirit in us, where we can be purified, sanctified. Especially in this hot weather, we wash our hands often, right? Take a shower. Right? We really love this water. Amen. Oh Lord, to cleanse us and renew us. In Titus 3 verse 5 it says that the Holy Spirit renews us. Amen. We have been redeemed by the renewing and sanctification through the Holy Spirit. It's really wonderful for the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord for this wonderful Spirit that purifies us. Day by day, wash. Amen. Wash your hands. All your doings, your dealings, where you're going with your feet. We need a lot of washing. Washing of our feet. Amen. Right. And this laver was made out of bronze, shiny, polished. Yeah. The women at that time used it, you know, as a mirror. For every washing, at every sink, usually you have what on top? Hanging a mirror. What is the mirror for? What is the mirror for? Yeah, you see yourself. Exactly. You see the spots. Oops, here. One more spot. I thought I washed already. But no, there is one more, right? If you see yourself in a mirror, you see whether you are without spot, blameless, or whether you still need purification and sanctification. So this laver, really, by being at it, right? I can imagine, right? Polished bronze, it's going to reflect your condition. And so when we come to our Lord Jesus, and we are in the Spirit, it is also the Spirit who will show us the true condition. The true condition. And we often, I thought, wow, I'm just fine, you know. Yeah, in the church life. And, you know, you have some knowledge. But then, spending time with our Lord and being in the church life and dealing in practical matters, in serving, your true condition is exposed. Which is a healthy thing. Because it shows you, wow, we are not yet perfected. And it draws you really to Him and to show that we need more of His Spirit, more of His sanctification, more of His wonderful humanity, right? His life is so perfect. Perfect, yet so approachable. He cleanses you. He is not showing your true condition, right, to criticize and to finger point and to condemn. That's Satan's job. He is condemning and accusing us day and night. But this Lord, as perfect He is, He wants to perfect us. And He wants to be that we are perfect as He is perfect. Holy as He is holy. Don't we need to see our true condition? Right? In order then also to see this wonderful supply. Amen. And have a way to be sanctified and purified. Without knowing your true condition, you're not going to this labor. You're thinking you're fine. You're just skipping it and going to the holiest place. And here everything is golden and holy. The scripture says, if you don't wash and hands and feet here, you're going to die. Right? The priests. So there is going to be spiritual death if you don't care, or if you don't take care of the spots that were shown to us, right, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Any exposure is always good and should lead us to apply the living water and His life. Amen. Oh Lord, so the priests before entering into the sanctuary should wash their hands and feet in the laver so that they will not die, spiritual death, due to the inner defilement. Yeah, and then this sanctuary here is another separation from the outer court, all the fleshly, to the holiest. From all the soulish, selfish, and natural. In here you have the golden lampstand. So it's from top view symbolic. And the show bread table, right, before you then have here another, just like the veil here, yeah, to enter into the holiest of holies. In here, in the holiest, you'd have the show bread table. A golden show bread table. When we enter and serve as priests in the church, we need to learn to deny our soul life. Right. I think this is really very important. In the church life, which was mentioned, not built by men, but our soul is so active and has so good, many good ideas and ways. So, on the cross, we also, not only our Lord Jesus died, but we also with Him. We died with Him. Our old man died with Him. Our self, our I died with Him. Praise the Lord. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. And so in this golden showbread table here, what is presented are 2 rows of 6 showbread baked with fine flour. And it's really showing us and testifying the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord was such a testimony of that perfect humanity. He was that man that was perfect, without sin, without leaven, no hypocrisy. Right? He was really this one that the Father said, this one, him, in him I'm well pleased. Right? And this showbread here was in two rows, each row six bread shown there and prepared, and then at the Sabbath put here on that golden table. And this really shows us the number two is the testimony. Number six, the number of men. So our Lord Jesus was that perfect testimony, that testimony of the perfect humanity. And at the Sabbath, after having that bread presented on that table, only on the Sabbath the priest could eat it. It was then to eat for the priests, for their needs. But during the week, it was there. And we see here. It was presented, if you look at the outline, D1A, before the Father for his approval. The Lord, his life, was approved. It was complete, it was perfect, and is perfect. The Father approved it. Right? So the food that we have and need in the church is that approved, perfect humanity of our Lord. Not the cheap, quick, fabricated food, but that approved one. It's a showbread table, right? A showbread presented before the Father for the whole week. So we should not just take anything and swallow any food. Never healthy. When we come to have dinner or lunch, right? At home, or you open your fridge, you take it out. Usually what we do is we open the lid and see, okay, everything okay, still kosher, fresh, right? Or is there maybe mold started to grow? So we just don't close our eyes and, we are hungry, swallow everything. No, we don't do that. It's not good. You might end up in the ER. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need this fine humanity approved by the Father in the church life. Amen. Don't just take anything in what anybody's saying. Right? But it needs to be the fresh, living, perfect Lord's supply of his life for the building, for the strengthening, then for the priest to eat at the Sabbath day. Amen. Praise the Lord for this wonderful humanity of our Lord Jesus. Amen. May we all in the church really able to discern, able to take in and know what to reject and know what is approved from the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to really have that healthy, fresh food and supply in the church. Amen. And then you have, in this sanctuary, there is no natural light. You need to have light. The golden lampstand is there to really shine and supply the light in the sanctuary. And there is Right? We quoted Zechariah chapter 4. Remember that picture with the olive trees and the golden lampstands, with the bowls and the pipes to each of the bowls, where the supply there is from the olives pressed, then the oil giving the light in his house. It is the Spirit that gives really the light. It's the light of life that we need today in his house. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Not the opinion of brothers and sisters, and right? Not the opinion of man, but his light shining in us, shining in a dark place. Right. Lord Jesus. May he be our light, right? The Spirit in us and in the church to enlighten us through the Spirit. Amen. Right. This oil was produced by pressing of the olives. Fresh supply to give light and life in the sanctuary. Right. So, amen. This is a really wonderful picture of the Lord's true tabernacle. And you have separations, the altar, the laver, the sanctuary, a golden showbread table, a golden lampstand, right? And then we also see the next meeting, a golden incense altar. And then really can enter into the holiest of holies. Yeah, maybe not neglect, right, that pattern. In the church life, we need to have such a way, a living way. And the Lord is training us today, right, to really enter into such a holy priesthood. In the church, it is his place, built by him, according to his pattern, right, and not by any man's ways. Amen. May we be encouraged, right, by this living God to really enter into the practice. Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord and the Spirit enlighten us furthermore to enter into the reality of this wonderful picture. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Brought up this morning is very important, which is summarized in one word, the separation. Because many times I don't believe that we, the believers, have this consciousness of being separated from so many things. We may know the doctrine, but we do not realize the importance of the separation. Taking a look at this picture, you can see just this outer part already shows us a very important separation. No wonder John says, love not the world. I think we still love the world. Right? So the separation from the world is very important. You can just take a look at the picture, but if you don't have the sense of the importance of separation, then you're missing the mark. Today in the church life, do we have this outer court for this separation? Otherwise, why do we need this wall there, right? Even the New Jerusalem, what do you see? First of all, in the New Jerusalem, the walls with 12 gates, right? Of course, here is such a small tabernacle with only one entrance, but you have a big and very high wall in the New Jerusalem, which shows a complete separation from anything that is not of God, anything that is of this world, of this system. You should realize that today the whole world is so fallen. Look at politics in this world. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Right? There's so many corruption in this world. Evil things. Right? And even the good things that are capturing our heart. But you may think the job is not bad, right? Yes, it is not bad. But a bad thing is that it may capture your heart. So that at the end you'll be filled with just your job and you have no more time for the Lord. Right? So many things will try to actually keep us away from God. So this wall is very, very important. The first wall. So you have to realize that that is just the outer wall. Then you have another wall here. Of course, this is not in proportion. The proportion is one-third square and two other squares, two-thirds, right? But it's just a picture. It doesn't matter. But I would make the table a little bit bigger. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to give you a very deep impression. Right? Because the table is big. You have to have a big table. And then, of course, you have a golden lampstand with seven lamps. Yeah, seven lamps, right? You have seven lamps, six and seven. You have seven lamps.
Amen.
Right? And not just a little bit of light. Mm-hmm. That means you have a complete shining of this light. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't just be satisfied with a little light. Especially if you get older like me. You know, if you just have one lamp in the whole room, it's not enough to shine the whole room, to give light to the whole room here. And if I'm reading something today and there's just a little bit of light, I can't see anything. I need a stronger light.
Amen.
To really see. And you think spiritually, you just need one little candle and you can see a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Right. We do not have the realization we need much more light. You know, some people think they already see everything. You think we can really see everything. How many eyes do you have? How many eyes the Lamb of God has?
Seven.
Can you see better with your two eyes, especially the Chinese little eyes? You can see everything. Especially if we are darkened. We're in darkness. You don't see so much. In the changed life, we need seven lamps. Shining forward. Amen. To show us so many things here. You know, we don't need the natural human wisdom. Like James says, we need wisdom from above. We need light.
Amen.
The light of life.
Amen.
Don't be satisfied just with seeing a little bit. You know, many years ago I heard an older man that says, oh, we have seen everything in the Bible. I thought, how can this man say that? The riches of Christ is unsearchable. How can you see everything? Right? And I heard also some people say, oh, we are already matured. We know everything now. Oh, you know everything? You know everything? How come you don't want the offerings? You really think you know the offerings? Only foolish people think they know.
Lord Jesus.
How many times do you tell the Lord, I don't know. I need your shining.
Amen.
Are you better than Zechariah? The angels are Zechariah. Do you know what that is? Do you know what it means? Mm-hmm. Zechariah didn't say, let me guess. But let me try to give you an explanation. It's better to be humble, really humble, not false humility. Zechariah told the Lord, Lord, I don't know. Because there are many things you don't know. You know about California? No. How about you, Simon? You just came and drove all over, right? You know California? You've seen everything? You just saw a little bit. I live here and I... maybe a little bit more than you, but I don't even know California living here. How about you? You were born here, right? You know everything in California?
No.
And you think you know everything here?
No.
We need the light of life to really see. Otherwise, what are you going to see? You think you can eat without light?
No.
You cannot. You don't know. Many people don't know what they're eating spiritually. You don't know if the pastor, the elders, or whatever, what they're saying is right. You need the light of life. You need the anointing spirit to know. Otherwise, you'll be just swallowing a poison. You know, the German word gift sounds like the English word gift. But it has completely different meaning. One will kill you. The other one will be satisfying you, a wonderful gift. Can you imagine if you understand the gift of God is eternal life, but you use the word gift. It may sound the same, but it's not the same. A German gift is a different than the word is different. Sounds the same. Spelled the same, but it's a different gift.
Poison.
Hmm?
Poison.
It's poison. The German gift means poison. The English gift means oppressive. So you better differentiate. What gift are you talking about? German gift or an English gift? You better know the difference. But if you are not in the light, you cannot tell the difference. Right. So you need the golden lampstand, meaning to say that this lamp, this light is from God, with the fresh anointing oil of the Holy Spirit. This is the kind of light that we need. Then these two together make a wonderful pair.
Amen.
Otherwise, you will not know what you're eating. Many people read the Bible. How come they don't see anything? The Catholics, you don't think they read the Bible? How about the Pentecostal people? They don't read the Bible? Everybody reads the Bible, but they see differently. What do you see? Right? So, this too belongs together. Then, although you are not sharing concerning the incense altar, don't give the impression to people that there are only two furnitures there. So, although you're not speaking it, you better draw it right here. This is not that big.
But high.
But it's higher and it's very important. So, never give the impression there are only this two and you don't have that.
Right.
Because this is what is really needed here. And here, you have another separation here. Right? You have, here you have also a curtain And here you have a veil right there. You have a veil, right? You have a veil here. So you have so much separation, and this is called the Holy of Holies, and this is called the Holy Place. This is the outer court. So here you have a separation, here you have an even more limited space there, a much more enclosed separation. And then you have the most holy place, MH. You have the most. Here you have only an H, and here you have an S, just a separation. But now you're coming to the holy place, and then God is right here in the most holy place. You want to come to God without being holy? You tell me. This picture should show you how important the holiness is. You don't care about being holy. You want to fellowship with God. How are you going to do that? No wonder you don't hear Him. Right. So may the Lord open our eyes to see that it is not just a matter of knowledge and doctrine. It's okay. But this is the heavenly pattern. Moses must build this tabernacle exactly according to the heavenly pattern. And so all this separation is Christ. That's why you have the same acacia wood. Except now it's overlaid with gold. So without the humanity of the Lord, how are you going to separate yourself from the world, you tell me? Because we, the fallen nature, our fallen flesh is part of the world. You think the world is out there, but the world is here. So all of these should show us. That's why nobody can enter here. This is already a little bit too far away. I would put it even closer here. This is so little space. You cannot even enter in without going through the altar. And then you cannot enter here without going through the brass or bronze laver. This is a wonderful picture to show us. Don't think it is easy. Nothing is easy. Nothing is easy. You think spiritual life and experience is easy. The church life is easy. If it were easy, after 2,000 years, the Lord should have already finished the heavenly building. Right? You know, this is according to the pattern, the heavenly pattern. But so many different groups today are not even according to the pattern. It's false tabernacle. You're right. This is, there is a true tabernacle. The pattern built by Moses is a copy of the true tabernacle. But today all these different denominations and groups and all that, they are not even a true copy. So what are you going to do today? Right. We need to really have the spiritual wisdom to understand. Don't say that's nothing. No. Why is it nothing? If you don't understand this, you will not understand what the true tabernacle today really means. Do you see a pulpit here? How do you say a pulpit in German? An Redepult. Kanzler. There's no Kanzler here. You don't see Aaron talking in a pulpit in front of to give a message to everybody. No pulpit.
Is there a pulpit here?
No pulpit.
But today, without a pulpit, you don't have a church. Can you imagine a Sunday morning meeting without a message? Huh? Yes. Where do you see that? It's fine, yeah. Hallelujah. We're having conference here. It's a conference.
But in a regular church meeting, it should be
full of offerings. Amen. And bringing in the food as a worship for the living God in the Holy of Holies. No pulpit.
I like to see a church life without a pulpit. Do you like that? Or you want to be a speaker?
No way.
Better be a priest.
Yeah.
You have a choice. You want to be a pastor or a priest? The pastor will pass away. That's why it's called a pastor. Of course, pastor means shepherd. But a priest will be the one who offers sacrifice. Do the sacrifices and bringing in the food for the Father.
Amen.
Isn't it better? You see a pulpit here? There's another altar, it becomes a pulpit. And everybody was standing outside with chairs and chairs and chairs and chairs. And Aaron stands there and gives them a message. 3 times a year. No pulpit. Praise God. In the pattern at the time of Moses, God didn't show him to build a pulpit. Right? Have you read Exodus, beginning in chapter 25? Is there a pulpit made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold? And a carpet made of purple, blue, and gold, and nothing of that sort. Why do we build that pulpit today? No pulpit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let's take a break.